Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, happy Monday, everybody. This is Jennifer Hill, live with LA Talk Radio here in Los Angeles, and we'd like to welcome you to our very first edition of Get Yourself the Job. Today, I have a very special guest with me, Allison Garrido. She is a passionate career coach, and her strength is in helping job seekers figure out when it's the right time to transition. So one of the things we're going to be talking about today is a little bit about when and how it's a good time to make a move. What Allison really focuses on is she helps her clients identify their strengths and create a path towards a fulfilling career. She also provides intensive resume review and interview preparation. Allison has extensive experience working in human resources, and in fact, during her time in HR, she coached staff members at all levels around performance reviews and facilitated off-site and in-house trainings. She now facilitates an original workshop series for those making career transitions. Allison studied psychology at Northeastern University and is a certified professional coach through the International Coach Academy. I'd like to welcome Allison to the show today. Thank you so much for being here, Allison.
Thank you for having me, Jennifer. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, it's such a pleasure. So, Allison, let's talk about how you and I connected. It was so funny. We had reconnected, I think, after having known each other many years ago. Mm-hmm. And you started off, when we first connected, I think, working at one of our clients in the HR department, right?
I sure did. I was working at an investment firm downtown, and I knew that you had such a wonderful reputation on the team.
It's true.
And so when I started on my own as a career coach, I knew that I wanted to reach out to you and hear what your career path had been like and learn more about from a successful entrepreneur.
Stop it. I'm blushing. It's a good thing nobody can see us. Okay, great. Well, yeah. And so the funny thing is, tell me a little bit about how you made the transition. Before we get into like how and when somebody else should make a transition, tell me a little bit about yourself and how you kind of came to this career.
Absolutely. I feel lucky that from the beginning, I always knew that I wanted to help people. That was a driving force throughout my career in a customer service and then in human resources. But it was when I was in human resources, really having that one-on-one interaction where I was coaching people towards reaching their goals.
Allison, I'm going to hold you on for 1 second. We already have a caller calling in.
My goodness.
So let's just go ahead and see who we have on the line here, and we'll reconnect on that. Hi, thank you for calling Get Yourself the Job. Who is calling, please? Hello? I don't know if it's not working. All right, well, live and learn. Call back and we will figure this out. All right. So back to you. And so how you kind of started, you were passionate about customer service and helping people. So tell me a little bit about how that transitioned into what you're doing now.
Sure. Well, when I was at the investment firm, I was working with their executive coach. So I saw what he was doing and helping people in a one-on-one environment really reach their goals and meeting with people over and over, more than just that one conversation and getting a resolution in the moment. So I really enjoyed seeing what he was doing and learning from him. And then as a result, I decided to enroll in International Coach Academy's program, where I really honed my coaching skills and started to understand really what being a coach meant. It's more than giving advice. It's more than, you know, a sympathetic ear or a cheerleader. It's really about helping people get unstuck and reach their goals.
That's awesome. So what's your favorite part about being a coach?
I really love hearing the lightness in people when we're ending a conversation. Typically, in the beginning of a conversation with one of my clients, they come with a goal. So they say, by the end of the call, I'd like to have clarity on this issue. And usually, you know, it's pretty heavy. They're thinking, I really need to figure out how I use my network better, right? And that's kind of a heavy topic. And then by the end, hearing the action items and the lightness, it's really just wonderful. And I can feel myself lift throughout the call as they really discover what's right for them, But coaching allows people to take that hour to really focus on what's right for them instead of just worrying and thinking about things in the back of your mind.
You know, it's so funny. You brought up something, because I don't know if many people know this. I started off, and for about a year before I opened my recruiting company in 2009, I did career consulting. And I remember my sister had given me this gift, and it's one of my favorite things I've ever been given. It's a bracelet, and on it is a charm. And that charm says, "Let this be your greatest task. Let this be your greatest joy, to give people back to themselves, even in their darkest hour, especially in that hour." And I think it's so beautiful because it ties into what you just said, is that's really who a coach is that no matter where somebody's at, whether it's a high, it's a low, you're there to kind of guide them and help them navigate the waters of their career, right?
Absolutely. And I think a lot of times people are thinking, what am I going to do? How's this going to work out? But it's not until they talk with someone that I say, well, what will you do? How will this work out? And then they have the answers. They just didn't get to that point without a little bit of guidance and some time to really think about what your next move is.
Yeah, it's just kind of like being a mirror and reflecting back to people their own greatness. I was just reading a book by Louise Hay about healing your life, and somebody had recommended it to me. And it's so true. We all have this negative self-talk that tells us you can't, you're stupid, you're too old, too fat to have the job you want. And so I think having, it's not a cheerleader, but having an advocate who's on your side, like you in your corner, it really gives your esteem, your self-esteem, just so much greater breadth than what you would have just individually by yourself.
Absolutely. I see that a lot when people are working on their resumes. We'll find a really great bullet on their resume and they'll say, well, gosh, that sounds so great. And I'll say, but it's true, right? we're not lying on your resume. Yeah, it's true. I just never thought that I accomplished something and could word it in that way. And so you're right. The greatness is there. It's just helping, you know, format it or put it in a way that's understandable.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess one of the most important questions, one of the reasons that I was delighted to have you as the very first guest on the show is because I think it's really important to know when it's time to change jobs or change careers. So what do you do if somebody is in a position that they don't like, but they're kind of confused or in limbo about, okay, well, I know I don't like this job, but what the heck should I do? How do you approach that?
I always talk to people about when my clients come to me, they say, I know this isn't it, but I don't know what it is, right?
Right.
So we start with really looking at what you're good at, thinking about what are your strengths? And there's a multitude of wonderful assessments. My favorite is the StrengthsFinder book that are really easy to go through and look at, you know, from an assessment standpoint, taking a little quiz, if you will, what you're good at. But I have some questions that I usually go through with my clients that really helps them discover for themselves, and it comes from their own voice, what they're good at. And the questions are, is it okay if I go through
I would love it. I was just going to ask. I'm sure everybody's on the edge of their seats.
Wonderful. So, and these are questions that you can just have swimming around in the back of your mind. It's not an interview. You don't have to know immediately what the answer is. But as you start to think of these things, you'll really see the answers emerge. So the first is, what comes naturally? What's something that you were learning how to do and you just got it right away? You didn't have to think about it. You thought it might have been a big project, but it was just something that you were ready to do right away and teach other people. The next one is, what do I contribute to a team? So if you're on a team, is there a thing that people always nominate you to do?
Right? We all have that person.
No one else would think of taking on that task. And another way to think of that question is, if you were to leave a group or a team, what would be missing?
Oh, I like that. I've never actually heard that asked before. I really like that one.
It brings up answers pretty quickly because they say, oh, my, you know, sparkling personality or the way I can always help with a customer service issue. Next is, what makes me feel energized? So that's when you're driving
to
work.
Important.
Yeah, when you wake up in the morning, what are you thinking? I can't wait to do this. The final two, first is, what would I volunteer to do? So if you think of a time at work, maybe you have plenty on your plate, you might be ready to walk out of the office, but you see someone doing a project and you think, oh, I'd love to give them a hand. That's something I'd enjoy doing. Can I help you with that? I spoke with a high school group recently.
Oh, fun.
And, and I changed that a little bit to say, what would you not sleep in? What would you give up your extra hour of sleep on Saturday for?
That's a great question to ask a millennial or a high school kid.
Absolutely, because it's a tough decision. And the last is, when do you lose track of time? So if you think of a musician on stage jamming away, or when was the last time you started a project and you looked up and you missed lunch?
Okay. So it's like you're so engrossed in what you're doing in a good way, not in a way, you know how it's like, what is that cliche, time flies when you're having fun?
Yeah. So it might be a spreadsheet. It might be, you know, writing.
Spreadsheets, really?
Yeah, it could be. I love a spreadsheet.
I'm calling you next time I need help with a spreadsheet.
Sounds good. Yeah, so whatever it is, those are things that the answers to these questions are really your strengths and things you enjoy in a good starting spot when you're looking at what your next move might be.
Oh, that is really interesting. Now, I'd love to get your two cents on this. I was just part of a class that lasted about a year, and it was all about partnership and contribution. And one of the last exercises that they had us do as part of this year-long class was to go into our community and to ask other people, what can they count on us for, or what do they hold us accountable for, and or what can't they count on us for? Do you think that would be a beneficial question to kind of get in the inquiry of when you're assessing whether or not it's the right time to make a career change?
Absolutely. I mean, looking at things that people value about you. So those questions are questions that you can have swimming around in your head. But when you start to talk with your community, it's amazing to see the strengths that they see from their perspective and really what they count on you for, like
awesome.
You said.
I think we have another caller coming in. Let's see how this works. All right. Hello. Welcome
Hello.
To the show. Who is this, please?
Who is this, please? Oh, hello, this is Carolyn.
Hi, Carolyn. How are you? Are you calling from Los Angeles today?
I am.
Hi, Carolyn. Did you have a question for Allison or myself?
Oh, no, I wanted, is this the Jennifer Hill
Yes,
talk?
It is.
Okay, I thought I'd listen in. I'm at work and I'm trying to do some work, so sorry, I need to put you on mute.
No worries.
There going to be a presentation?
So it's not as much a presentation. What Allison is here to chat with us about today is she's here to give different career tips for people who are either looking to land their dream job or trying to figure out if it's the right time to transition. You can find, I know Allison and I both have different websites. On mine is getyourselfthejob.com. You can find about 200 free articles I've written on how to get yourself the job, different presentations, so to speak. And Allison, where would people go to find some of your material?
My website is my name, so it's Allison
Garrido. Wait. The first one is Get Yourself What?
GetYourselfTheJob.com.
TheJob.com.
Yeah, GetYourselfTheJob.com.
Okay.
And then Allison's is, I think, her name, so you want to go ahead and spell that out?
Sure, it's Allyson. And then my last name, Garrido, GARRIDO. So it's AllisonGarrido.com.
Yeah, so you can you can check out either one of our websites. And also, if you go to my book website, StopHopingStartHunting.com, you can download the first 30 pages of my book for free and check that out. And it kind of delves into what Allison and I are chatting about right now.
Sounds great. Thank you, girls.
Oh, thank you so much. And you said it was Carolyn?
Yes.
Thank you, Carolyn. You are officially our first guest on the show, so thank you so much for calling in, and have a great rest of your day at work.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much. So should I disconnect and go check these out at my leisure?
Yeah, absolutely. And the show is archived every week, too, so if you want to tune in or listen to anything that Allison or I said, you can always go back and check the archives for the show.
Sounds great. Thank you so much.
Thank you for being such a fabulous first guest, and have a wonderful rest of your week.
Okay, I'll be checking out your website.
Thanks, wonderful. Carolyn. Have a good one.
Okay, have a great day. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Perfect. Okay. Well, that was fun. See, here, I'll tell you guys something really funny. This weekend, I was actually at the, Academy of Country Music Awards with a dear friend of mine who writes for the press. And it was interesting because a common theme that came up for everybody, whether it was actually the artist performing themselves or my friend Selma, who's doing the interview, or, you know, me preparing for this, is that we all get nervous. It's natural to, you know, have tension or think, oh gosh, am I good enough to have a radio show? Am I good enough to write this article to get this job. And I think a lot of it, and you can tell me your thoughts on this, Allison, comes down to just self-love and empowerment, because if you can just learn to believe in yourself, everybody else will believe in you. So it doesn't matter if you're standing in front of 20,000 people or 10 million on a TV show or in front of one person in an interview. I think it all comes down to the intention you set before you do anything. What are your thoughts on that, Allison?
Absolutely. I'm feeling confident and being authentic, being yourself.
So right. Yeah.
and really trusting that if you're your authentic self, just like in an interview, I always talk about interviews like relationships. You know, you want things to work out, but if they don't work out, that's okay.
Yeah, right? It's like dating, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's better to know right away that maybe it's not right than further down the line.
Exactly. I used to, when I first started recruiting, it was in my early 20s, and I remember I treated dating like recruiting. I was like, I don't want to waste anybody else's time. Mm-hmm. And I think my record back in the day was 8 dates in one day.
Wow.
if you were 5 minutes and it's late or anything mm-hmm. like that. But like you said, in the same sense, in an interviewing sense, you're better off to find out early on if it's not the right match than wind up in a 20, 30 year relationship, be it work or marriage, and then have it be something that doesn't bring you complete fulfillment, happiness, and joy every day.
Absolutely. And that's why in that interview, like you said, when you're confident, when you feel like your best self, then you're really presenting yourself and you're not presenting someone else and they hire that other person, but you show up and you're you. So
yeah.
Be you and your best self from the beginning.
I totally agree. And it's funny because I'm not sure if you have this experience too when you coach people, but at the staffing firm that I own at J. Hill Staffing Services, anybody who's sent out on an interview through my company gets complimentary coaching. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that as human beings, we tend to really put ourselves down like, oh, Allison, you said that better than I could ever say it. And the analogy that I give to any of the job seekers who are going out on their interview is that we're all like vanilla ice cream to start, which who doesn't love vanilla ice cream, right?
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes when you get coaching from like Allison or from a recruiter or whoever it is who's helping prepare you for an interview, it's like adding some sprinkles and whipped cream and a cherry on top. So it's not that vanilla ice cream is bad. It's just about making the most delicious sundae possible.
Absolutely.
Is that a terrible analogy?
No, I love that. I love that. We all start, it's a level playing field though. We all start with the tools we have, and the more tools we can have in our toolkit, the better.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it comes down to, is the more people that you have in your corner, look at anybody who's successful in life. Mm-hmm. They all have coaches, makeup artists, massage therapists, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. We all have things that we need to make sure we're at our highest and best selves. So Allison, tell me a little bit about, like, what's your favorite tip to give somebody when it comes to preparing them for an interview? Is there some sort of protocol you go through when coaching, or what's the question that typically trips people up a lot that you come across?
Geez, well, the thing I really focus on when people are preparing for interviews is, have you heard, I'm sure you have, the SOAR model of answering a question?
What? No, I don't think I've heard about this. Please enlighten us.
So SOAR is, it stands for situation, obstacle, action, and result.
Oh, I like that.
So when you are asked a question that starts with, tell me about a time when, instead of having to rack your brain and think, oh my gosh, I don't know, is this a good example? If you think before the interview of a couple good SOAR examples, and where people oftentimes stumble with this question is when someone asks you a question about something that happened, you'll tell them what you did, right? So
yeah.
This happened, this was in my way, and then this is how I moved it. But if you say, this is what happened, this is what was in my way, this is how I moved it, and now I walk freely every day, and so do my colleagues, it's just a different story. Having that result really packs the punch. So thinking about what questions might come up and using the SOAR model is wonderful. I actually have a client who became my star pupil the other day. He was interviewing at Amazon.
Oh, not easy.
Not easy. And they have 14 core competencies. And on his flight up to Seattle, he sat on the plane and wrote out a SOAR example to any question of the 14.
No way.
So he wrote 14 SOAR examples. But just going through the exercise of thinking of those questions, they flowed better when he was talking in the interview. He felt really confident and he got the job offer.
No way. Yeah. Oh my God. Isn't that the best feeling?
Absolutely.
It's just like, as a recruiter or as a career coach, it's like, it enlivens you, I feel like, when mm-hmm. you help somebody to fulfill their passion or mm-hmm. their dream. And sometimes it's just like peeling back, like, all the stuff that we didn't know. It's mm-hmm. not the end of the world that if you don't know it, you might have still been successful, but it's just like, what is it? Luck favors the prepared. Mm-hmm. Isn't that a,
exactly.
a quote? Something like that.
Exactly. And it's so often that people don't take a moment before an interview. And I know you touch on this a lot of take more than a moment, take several moments to prepare for an interview. And that's when people do that, the results really show.
Yeah, I agree. As we actually will cancel people's interviews if they don't come up with a bare minimum of what we call the 3 5s. And that's 5 reasons why someone should want to hire you, including what you would call sore points, but mm-hmm. we call it evidence or examples. Mm-hmm. 5 reasons why you want to work for the company. And that's so important because, as you and I both know, so many people show up to an interview and when asked, hey, why do you want to work for us? Half the time people just say, oh, you're a good company. I like you. You're close mm-hmm. to home. Mm-hmm. So really coming up with substantive points and then 5 questions regarding the position, because the worst is getting to the end of an interview and somebody says, do you have any questions? No, thank you. You've answered all my questions. Mm-hmm. They're not going to take you seriously as an applicant. What do you do? How do you coach people on that aspect of things?
Well, I think it's the questions at the end in particular are so important, and they're important as you're showing your best self. But like I said, this is a relationship. This is a moment where you get to learn if you want to be in this relationship. So asking those questions about your colleagues, about what they'll expect from you in your first 90 days, about the challenges, about the great things, those really show your interest in a job. And they're such important questions, both to show your interest and to get the information that you really need to make an informed decision. It's wonderful to be wanted, and it's so tempting to accept every offer.
But right?
But not every offer is quite right.
It's such a conundrum, because I just got a call from somebody who's a really wonderful candidate who I know right before I walked in here, and she's in a similar position because she's up for a temporary job that could lead to her dream direct hire job, but she also got a direct hire offer mm-hmm. that offers her immediate benefits and a higher wage. What do you tell somebody? If you were a coach in that scenario, how would you coach that person?
I mean, we really would have to dig down and decide what is the risk. Yeah. Analysis.
That's such a good point.
This. I mean, could lead to your dream job. Is it worth the risk? Are direct hire jobs coming? Are you getting a lot of interviews? Could we leverage something here? And a lot of times we will not only make lists, but make weighted lists. Mm. So here's a list of the pros and the cons of each. And then how important is this on a scale of 1 to 5? So you leave with a number. Instead of a more subjective answers to these questions. But it's so individualized, and it's so important that people are really thinking about what's right for them in the moment.
It's such a catch-22, because there's what we call in our industry a Band-Aid job. And mm-hmm. some people take a Band-Aid job, and I can never imagine to put myself in somebody else's shoes. People have children, mouths to feed, bills to pay, mm-hmm. medical needs. And so that's why I tell people, yes, there are going to be occasions where you can take a Band-Aid job, but then you have to be very careful of what I call reactive versus proactive job hunting. Mm-hmm. Once you've stopped the bleeding with the Band-Aid job, then it's time to absolutely proactively find a long-term fit. But so often, I don't know if you've noticed this, people will take Band-Aid job after Band-Aid job, and it really hurts their resume.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I really try to help people make a strategy mm-hmm. around their
that's
career.
Great.
You see so many people who have careers based on circumstances. So you graduate school, and your uncle gives you a job, and then somebody will pay you more, so you take that job, and then one's a little more convenient to home. And that leads to people waking up and saying, well, how did I get here?
Right.
Where am I? So really starting with a strategy of where do you want to be? What will help you get there? And what are your ultimate goals can help people just understand why they're making the decisions that they're making and make an informed decision when they're thinking, do I take the risk? My dream job is in sight.
Yeah.
Or do I do the sensible thing? And there's no right or wrong answer, but it's about figuring out what is right for you.
So what would your thoughts be? That's great points that you just brought up on how to stay motivated during your job search. And especially, I hear it happen so often, racism, ageism, et cetera, et cetera. What is your take on all of that? How do you encourage people to stay motivated if they feel subjected to being discriminated against? Do you feel it's a mental thing? Do you think it's something they can overcome? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think like being confident, having a positive attitude in your job search is essential. It's a time that can feel isolating. It's a time that can feel like maybe you're not seeing the results as fast as you want to. So it's important to, one, create a community. There are a lot of job seekers. There's groups. There's people to support you, like recruiters, like you said, coaches. There's a community that you can build around your search. And part of that community is networking and making sure you have people in your corner. And like recruiters or former colleagues or bosses, those are people, if they know what you're looking for, they can give your resume to someone. And then you don't have to worry about, what if they see this gap in employment? How will someone react to this? Or maybe I shouldn't put that I've had 20 years of experience,
exactly.
Right? It's 20 years too much. Am I too old? Those are times when if someone's handing your resume to that hiring manager, then they already have a reference. They're already intrigued to meet you. So your network is huge in that situation.
Important.
And then the other point is finding things to measure besides interviews. So interviews aren't the only victory that you have in a job search.
What a great way to look at that.
Mm-hmm. You could expand your network. I'm such a huge proponent of informational interviews and learning about someone's job and learning if that's the right job for you. And never leaving an informational interview without another recommendation of a person to informational interview. That helps you expand your network, and that can be something you measure. You can measure the number of people who you've reached out to that week. You can also just make sure you are your best self. You need to stay healthy spiritually, physically, so when you walk into that interview, you are your best self, and you're not someone who's sat in front of a job board and you know, clicked submit on a million applications that you don't even know if they were right, but you're so focused on getting the resumes out or getting that interview. There's many other things that you can measure when you're going through a job search.
Yeah, that's a great point. I think when I used to do a lot more speaking, and I think I talk about it in the book, is there's something I call the 30-30-30 rule, which is 30% of your time should be spent applying to jobs on some of the boards and on the traditional ways.
Mm-hmm.
30% of your time should be spent attending networking events, because like you said, your network is your net worth, and it equates to how successful you're going to be.
Absolutely.
And then the last 30% ties into social media. So in a couple weeks, I'm going to have a guest on just to specifically talk about how to hire and be hired using and leveraging your social network, because I don't know if you've experienced this, but on my end, on the recruitment and the company side of things, LinkedIn is now the number one way that people are getting hired, and it's a wonderful way to passively job hunt.
Absolutely. And, you know, I work with a lot of people through an outplacement firm who are recently laid off, and I'm helping them find their new jobs. And they oftentimes ask me, should I say that I'm seeking employment in my headline? And, you know, that's an individual decision, the information that you want to put out in your LinkedIn headline. But we're in a time right now where everybody's seeking.
Yeah.
Even people that aren't actively looking have their eyes out. We're just not in a time now where people spend 30 years at the same job. Everyone has their eye out. And so you want to put your best foot forward. And I heard something great recently about your LinkedIn headline, that your LinkedIn headline should include the search terms that someone would use if they were looking for you.
Exactly. That's how my PR guy found me. Richard Berman, my PR guy out of New York, when I first, before I even opened, I think, my staffing firm, I got a call from Rich Berman, who used to write for NBC Nightly News in New York. And he said, "Miss Hill, I found you on LinkedIn. I searched president recruiting staffing firms." And he's the best thing that ever happened to me. He got me Good Day LA, Fox, you name it. And it was all just out of a LinkedIn headline. And I do agree that's so important to make sure you have the right keywords. I'd rather see multiple keywords in a headline than just one and then lose half the market share.
Absolutely. And there's many ways to do it. There's not a one size fits all LinkedIn headline, but make sure it has those keywords and however you're comfortable. So it's still your voice, like your resume. So many people have come to me and they said, "I don't like this part of my resume, but somebody told me I had to do it."
Oh, that's the worst. It's like not a true reflection of them.
Absolutely. This is you. This is your marketing materials. You should be excited about it and confident about it. So, you know, I give a lot of tips on resumes, but I work really, really closely with my clients to make sure it's their voice. And if they don't like a suggestion I've made, then it's out the window.
I completely agree. It's when I used to do resume writing, and I actually didn't like it for that very reason. And to this day, as a recruiter, I try not to augment somebody's resume unless it's a formatting structural thing. Mm-hmm. But it's giving people access to tools, like you said, of, hey, did you think about starting with an adverb and then following that up with a piece of evidence, mm-hmm. and then giving people access to that. But I agree is that if it's not in their voice, it's like a storyteller. It's like a movie or anything else.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And since we were talking about the SOAR model earlier, I'll share that one thing I do talk with my clients about with their resume is their resume, those bullets are typically the action and result.
Correct, yes.
So you can have those accomplishment statements instead of just a list of tasks.
Absolutely. You're so spot on with that. And the other thing, going back to the discrimination thing, I'll never forget this. There was an applicant who was wonderful, super polished and professional, mm-hmm. came across articulate, and I sent her into one of my clients years ago, and she went in, and I was sure they were going to hire her, and the HR person called me back, and thank goodness we had a good relationship, and she shared, and she's like, Jen, you know, I loved her, but she kept referencing her own age in the interview, just saying, oh, I know I'm not a young whippersnapper anymore. I know I'm not one of these fresh kids out of college. Mm-hmm. And the most beautiful part is it's like what you don't know, you don't know. If you don't realize you're doing it because it's like breathing, you just get in a habit of, you know, kind of shoot with your friends and mm-hmm. just saying this stuff. You don't realize it inadvertently comes out in an interview. And I was able to coach the woman the next week, sent her out to another interview, and she got hired because she realized that even if we make a joke of it or make light of it, you know, they always say there's a little bit of truth in every
mm-hmm.
joke.
Mm-hmm. And it's so important that if feedback is available to get it, because
yes.
you can only grow. It's not some, maybe you will take the feedback for what it's worth and it doesn't feel right to you, like we talked about with resumes, but that feedback was so valuable to that woman. And a lot of people will come to me after an interview and say, I had an interview, I didn't get any feedback, so it must have been terrible. And
aww.
Sometimes there's not feedback to get.
Yeah,
sometimes the job doesn't move forward. Sometimes they had an internal candidate and there was nothing you could have done. So it's important not to be too focused on what you did wrong if you didn't get the job. But having somebody to share feedback with you is so valuable. You really want to know how you come across.
Yeah, constructive criticism, I think, in any circumstance is going to be so beneficial to somebody out there, because you never know what that one little thing that you do is. There was a gentleman who came in my office, and from a body language standpoint, one of my friends, Nina, will probably be on the show later, and she's one of the foremost experts on speaking in body language. Mm-hmm. And he didn't realize that he would move his eyebrows up when he went to make a point.
Huh.
And within about a week or two of coaching him on this, it's little slight idiosyncrasies, whether it's something we physically say, whether it's a little head tilt or a nod or something. Mm-hmm. It really helps to have a sounding board, whether it's a career coach, a recruiter, or even a friend, kind of analyze your interviewing style and see what's missing or what would make a difference.
Yeah, you can't see the things you're doing oftentimes. Even if you yeah. can physically see them, you don't notice them.
I didn't realize when I first started doing TV until after watching myself and being totally embarrassed a few times is that I gesticulate and use my hands a lot. Mm. And it's something that's very common with job seekers is we'll use our hands to articulate a point, mm-hmm. but if you use your hands too much, it can completely derail the conversation and distract the interviewer from what you're saying.
Absolutely. I took a presentation course not long ago, and my natural stance is standing with my legs crossed, my feet crossed. And I had someone say, you know, that's not a powerful stance, when we were in a regular conversation. And I said, but I don't do that when I'm in front of a group. And he said, you do that when you're in front of a group. And I couldn't believe it, right? Because
wow.
I felt so natural in front of a crowd, like I was in my element and really enjoying it. And that was something that I was so grateful to know, because it's not how I would have liked to have presented myself. And now I'm totally tuned into it.
That's great. I remember somebody once referred me to Toastmasters. Mm-hmm. Did you ever do Toastmasters?
Mm-hmm, I have.
I think you and I talked about that. I find it's so helpful for job seekers, business people at any level, because they give the feedback in such an empowering, mm-hmm. encouraging way that it really softens the blow.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Everybody's there to make sure that you're doing well.
Yeah.
And help you improve. It's wonderful.
And the great thing about Toastmasters, too, that I remember is I would constantly refer it to job seekers and say, hey, you know, do it because because A, it's going to help you with your interviewing skills, and B, great networking. I have a friend of mine still who's the managing partner of a firm who is the president of the Toastmasters group I belong to.
And when I was choosing which group to go to, I mean, there are so many. We live in a big city, but most cities have a lot of them. So you can really feel which one is the best fit for you instead of just picking one and going. So you, it's a great way to network and make friends too.
Well, here's a question. If you have a job that you really like and say that you're just maybe not reaching that next level or you're plateauing in that job, what would you say, since you come from a human resources background and you did a lot of training and development, is there anything or any attributes that employers consistently look for to promote people, to give them raises? I know you said you're doing some great talks on that. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Sure. I think it's important that you have a great relationship with your boss and you know where you're going. That communication with your boss and your team to know what your goals are, what your next steps that you'd like them to be, and where you see yourself growing within a role. It's so important. And I've been lucky to have amazing bosses, and I've seen my clients also with bosses that really help them move forward and give them the structure they need to grow. Let them seek different opportunities and volunteer for things. You can informational interview in your own job, in your own company, the same way you would do if you were seeking a new job. If you want additional responsibilities, seek out that person that has those responsibilities and learn more about what they're doing. Staying curious is huge in general, just to learn as much as you can.
You're absolutely right. My business coach and I talk about that all the time, is curiosity is critical to any level of success, because the minute you become fixed, you know, you're either expanding or you're contracting. And so it's about always just constantly being coachable, I think, is so important too.
Yeah, that's a great word for it, in letting people help you.
Yeah. One of the things I remember years ago, just to kind of check in, I think tell me if you've had this experience. One of the common themes I've seen is that oftentimes in business and personal lives, we don't get how we occur for people, kind of tying it back into like, what can people count on you for? Do you think it would be advantageous for somebody to go out into their network, to their circle, whether it's close friends, family, business professionals, associates, and maybe ask a series of questions? There was a class I did called Landmark Education years ago. I think, did you do Landmark as well?
I haven't, no, not yet.
Okay. I just remember in one of the classes, my favorite exercise I ever learned was where you go out and you ask people, what was your first impression of me when we met? Where have I disappointed you? Where have I surprised you? And then what is your impression of me now? And how do you think that would fit in? Do you think that would be something that would be beneficial to kind of check in and see if you're behaving consistently with the way you think you are?
I think that's wonderful. I mean, to get as much feedback again as you can from your peers and from your friends and all the people around you, to make sure that you are projecting the image that you want to. The little acronym I've heard. I have acronyms for a lot of things.
I love all your acronyms.
I didn't realize it. But one that I heard and has always stuck in my mind is the KISS acronym. Oh. So keep, improve, stop, start.
Okay, say that again.
So keep, what is a behavior of mine that you'd like me to keep?
Improve.
Improve, stop, and start.
I like that. Okay, so, all these acronyms.
Yeah, but oftentimes when you ask someone for feedback, they don't know what you want feedback for. Not everyone's great about the structure with which they give feedback, and not everyone's thinking in that frame of mind. So the questions you had are wonderful because they really are specific and get to a point. Throughout my career, I've been lucky enough to get 360-degree performance reviews.
Oh, yeah.
And I've always found those so valuable when you hear from your peers, from people that report to you, from people that are above you. And I remember the first one was very, very eye-opening. I had very high standards, and I expected everyone to meet those very high standards.
I think I had one of those, too.
And I'm always so grateful for that manager, for thank you, Mary, for sitting me down and say, and she was the same way. She was in the same situation early in her career where, you know, you learn how to adjust and how to talk with people who are of different styles and learn a lot about those different styles. And so as much as you can hear about how you're landing on different people, how your comments impact people, it can only affect all parts of your life.
Yeah, I think it's so empowered and empowering to learn those different things about yourself. One of the things we touched on earlier, and I want to make sure we have adequate time, I think we have about 10 minutes or so left, mm-hmm. is the mental side of the job search. As a coach, how do you help people mentally prepare to overcome those obstacles? I know you mentioned like having a buddy system and having a network. Is there anything that, any books or resources or anything that you recommend to help people mentally prepare?
Sure. I really enjoy, as I mentioned, the StrengthsFinder book.
Yeah.
The StrengthsFinder book, I think, helps you mentally because when you're thinking about your strengths and what you're good at, many people feel like they're bragging when they talk about their strengths. And they feel uncomfortable, really, you know, moving forward and having that confidence, especially in a job search. It's a vulnerable time. So having the StrengthsFinder book validates that those are your strengths. And it helps you talk about them when it's from a third party. But really, staying motivated is essential and just knowing what the end result will be. I mean, when you are looking for a new job, you get to pick.
Yeah.
Hey, guess what? You're getting a new job. You get to pick which job it's going to be. You get to pick what city it's in. And nobody will make you take a job. So it should feel empowering to move forward with a goal in mind of finding a company. I spoke with someone today who said he really just wanted to find a family. He wanted to find a company that really where everybody was working together and had that kind of, you know,
camaraderie.
And so that was what was really important to him. And now he can hold out and he can really dig deep and learn about different companies until he finds the right one. So that's an exciting thing. And it's about realizing that and, you know, also not looking at your shortcomings. So I have people that say, well, I want a job in marketing, but I don't have, you know, 50,000 Twitter followers and I don't want to have 50,000 Twitter followers. And I said, well, it doesn't sound like you'll want to have a job that requires you to have 50,000 Twitter followers. And he said, well, of course. Yeah. But you put all these expectations and this weight on yourself that doesn't need to be there. So really having some perspective and thinking of things in an empowering and exciting way. This is a new opportunity just for you.
Did you ever, you made me think of the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. Did you ever read that?
I read recently the Think and Grow Rich for Women.
Oh, I've never read that one.
Yes, it just recently came out.
Mm-hmm. I really recommend it to any job seekers out there. It's a little bit antiquated, but it really looks at before the time where there were all these new money billionaires everywhere. It was like, what did it really take back in the day to have success at an unprecedented level? Mm-hmm. And what I loved that Napoleon Hill focuses on is A, he spent 20 years writing this book and interviewing everybody from, you know, who was it? You read the book more recently than I did. Was it Ford? And
oh, do you? Yeah, the people that were interviewed were a little more up to date, but they referenced all those, you know,
all those different books. But one of the things I remember in his book is he talks about, you know, having a declaration and how by talking out loud, you can actually retrain your brain. So if you have it that you're too old, too fat, too this, too that, one of the things that I teach job seekers and talk about in my book in the mental side of the job search is having a statement of intent and a daily declaration, a by when, just like what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. So instead of I need a job, which is reactive and almost more victim as opposed to proactive, then you say, I have a job paying me XYZ amount of money within XYZ miles of my house that brings me joy, satisfaction, and fulfillment every day, and declaring that first thing every morning when you get up. That way you're actually retraining your entire brain to be in line and your subconscious to be in line with your conscious.
Absolutely. I had a rich personal experience with those kind of statements where I had had my first experience with a vision map. So not a vision board, but with
I like it.
Yeah. So so it was like a mind map where you write a goal and in the current state, and then you have little mini goals that branch off of that goal.
I
so
love that.
For a job seeker, it might be, I have increased my network by 30%. And then the little legs that come off are, I am attending 3 networking events per week. I have increased my LinkedIn connections, you know, by 100. And for me, I saw within a month of just writing down those goals that I thought would happen in 6 months. It was 3 weeks, a month, 6 weeks. And I had almost everything on the list was a true statement.
Wow.
In things that I had put in my I am statement. So writing things down, having a declaration, it's huge. And another fun tip that I do is I have a jar, and I recommend this for my clients, and it's popular for entrepreneurial colleagues of mine too, where in your jar, every time something good happens, you put a post-it in the jar.
I love that. A gratitude jar, mm-hmm. right? I've heard about those. Mm-hmm.
And so you see this jar that's soon overflowing with these wonderful things that have happened to you. And then if you need a little boost, you go in the jar and you see what exciting thing, what accomplishment you've made. And it can just be really uplifting.
Great. We have another caller coming in. We're down to the last 5 or 6 minutes of the show, so I want to make sure people know where to find your information. So let's take this call.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, thank you for calling Get Yourself the Job. Who do we have on the line? Hello? Welcome to the show. Who is this? Oh, we may have lost a person. There you go. Gotta love the Wi-Fi network. So great. Before we wrap up, though, you've offered so much wonderful information for all of our listeners today. I want to make sure that people know where to find you. Of course, if they go to the archive of the show, we're going to have your name, your bio, your website up there. If you want to spell out your website one more time for people and tell people about some of the upcoming workshops and things you have going on.
Absolutely. So my website, again, is my name, Allison Garrido. It's ALYSONGARRIDO.com. On my website, you'll find not as many articles as Jennifer has, but they're growing. I have articles on job search motivation, finding your strengths, and information on how to contact me. If you feel like it would be beneficial to chat, my contact information's there via email and phone. And if you think you'd like to explore coaching, the first time I talk with someone, it's always free and it's just a way to explore coaching. So if you'd like to take me up on that, I would love to hear from you. Next is in April. So I know that some people might be listening in podcasts. So it is now April of 2016. April of 2016. And I do have a workshop series coming up in Los Angeles. So we'll go through my 5-part workshop series, which explores identifying your strengths, creating a job search strategy, working your network, your perfect interview, and difficult conversations. Those will be April 5th, every Tuesday through May 3rd, and it's in the Mar Vista area of Los Angeles. So if you go to my website, there is a meetup page that has a lot more information there. So that's a free workshop that's open to the community, and I hope to see some of you there.
Awesome, Allison. Thank you so much. And for those of you just tuning in now, my name is Jennifer Hill, host of the show GetYourselfTheJob.com. You can find my blog of the same name, GetYourselfTheJob.com, with over 200 articles that I've written that my book, Stop Hoping, Start Hunting, is based upon. And if you do go to StopHopingStartHunting.com, you can find the first 30 pages of my book for free. I also own J. Hill Staffing Services, which is a legal recruitment company in the West Los Angeles area. So if you or somebody you know of is in the market for a new legal job, you're certainly welcome to reach out to myself or any of the team. And you can find us on the web if you look up Jennifer K. Hill. Again, that's JenniferKHill.com. That will take you to my main website. Any other finishing, closing thoughts for the day, Allison? It's been such a delight to have you on the show, and certainly I'm sure we're going to want to have you back again soon.
Oh, thank you so much. It was a pleasure to be here. And just, you know, we talked a lot today about making sure that you are approaching your search in a positive way and staying motivated. And really do just use the resources that are available to you online through all these great articles to make sure that you're treating your search in a positive way and that you're feeling good about this next opportunity.
Yeah, and the last thing I'll leave you with is if you're ever in a place where you're feeling disheartened or you feel like, gosh, I just cannot do it, help someone else. Find a buddy. Offer to help somebody else find a job, and I guarantee you they've done studies on this. You get out of depression by sharing and helping other people, and like what Allison said with the gratitude jar, make a list of the things you're grateful for. Every morning I wake up and I list the top 10 things I'm grateful for, and it could be something like having a bowl of cereal to, you know, something fun and exciting like doing this show. But it's just about putting your attention on what you're grateful for will automatically expand your consciousness, whether it's job hunting or professionally. Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much. Thank you for being on the show today, Allison.
Thanks
and
for having
again,
me.
This is Jennifer Hill with Get Yourself the Job. Have a wonderful rest of your week, everyone.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.